This week in enterprise technology, AT&T wants more regulation, Google needs more innovation, and we need more predictions for 2018. Quiet on the set.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWIT.
Bandwidth for This Week in Enterprise Tech is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This Week in Enterprise Technology, episode 275, recorded January 26, 2018. Twiat predicts the future.
This Week in Enterprise Tech is brought to you by IT Pro TV. The fun and entertaining way to sharpen your IT skills. Visit itpro.tv/enterprise and use the code ENTERPRISE30 to get a free 7-day trial and 30% off a monthly membership for the lifetime of your active subscription. And by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home plays a big role in your life. That's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. It lets you apply simply and understand the entire mortgage process fully, so that you can be confident that you're getting the right mortgage for you. Get started at rocketmortgage.com/enterprise.
Welcome to This Week in Enterprise Tech, your home for everything that matters in the world of technology and the enterprise. I'm your host, Kurt Franklin, and we have a great episode this week. We're looking ahead, well, and looking behind as we go back over our predictions for 2017 and look forward to our predictions for 2018. Now, of course, I'm not making all these predictions by myself. I'm joined by my partners in crime, Lou Maresca and Brian Chi. Let's first go to Lou Maresca, Principal Programming Engineer at Microsoft. Lou, how are things in the great Pacific Northwest?
Well, you know, unfortunately, the weather's not great today. It's a little rainy and cold, but things are going great. Yeah, we're doing well, and we're starting to come to a close with some of our projects, and I get to work from home today, so looking forward.
Well, working from home is always fun, and working from paradise, if not home, is my other partner in crime, Brian Chi, out at the Advanced Network Computing Lab at the University of Hawaii. Brian, is it truly another spectacular day in paradise?
Yes, it is. It's actually not super hot or super humid, which is nice. Nice light breeze. The weathermen in Hawaii have such an easy time. It's going to be between, you know, low 80s, high 70s, light wind from the southwest, and sunny with chance of clouds. You know, they might as well put it on recording, right?
It's a tough job calling the weather out in Hawaii. Well, speaking of tough jobs, we're going to have a tough job just getting through all our predictions today. So let's get right to the blips. In the latest dispatch from the land of be careful what you wish for, we see AT&T Chief Executive Randall Stephenson issuing an open letter to Congress and the FCC calling for, wait for it, more regulation of the internet. In an open letter published as an ad in major newspapers, Stephenson said Congress should, quote, establish an Internet Bill of Rights that applies to all Internet companies and guarantees neutrality, transparency, openness, non-discrimination, and privacy protection for all Internet users, end quote. Now, while this sounds altruistic, it seems AT&T is worried about two big issues, uncertainty and competition from non-carriers like Google, Apple, and Amazon. Given current politics and competing commercial interests, it's unlikely that an Internet Bill of Rights will be quick, easy, or even possible. But this is the latest evidence that the new reality of network non-neutrality is confusing for everyone concerned.
So sometimes you don't have the ability to see deep into a company's own system and actually what's going on there until somebody actually flies the coop. Sometimes you have to take it from with a grain of salt, since some of them actually leave due to performance reasons. But it's safe to say that Steve Yeagy is a well-known Google veteran. After 13 years, he decided to take the plunge and make a change. Even though Yeagy goes in depth about why he left Google, there are a set of themes that surface from his memoirs. Some of the common themes are that the company is getting to be too political. It's hindering its ability to innovate and evolve. And Google is also risk adverse and fears taking the plunge in order to innovate and move into new markets. We have heard these themes before from others, but one aspect that was interesting was that Yegi pointed out that Google's parent company, Alphabet, was becoming obsessed with matching or wanting up competitors rather than customers' wants and needs. Yegi claims their internal slogans and vision statements are all for the press, and they really follow the dangerous but easy game of using competitive activity as a proxy for what customers really need. This brings up a set of pretty interesting questions for people who are interested in technology and investment. How can Google stay relevant in the world of things like Alexa, AR, VR, machine learning, and ad blocking? As article likes these in the past, we have seen them. We might also be a forcing function for Google to go and change some of their processes. Let's hope Steve's claims don't go into one ear and out the other.
Well, you know, speaking of Alphabet, they're launching a machine learning cybersecurity company. Alphabet, the parent company of Google, Nest, Waymo, and a million other companies, is launching a new company under the Alphabet umbrella, and it's called Chronicle. The new company wants to apply the usual Google tenets of machine learning and cloud computing to cybersecurity. Steve Gillette, the new CEO of Chronicle, explained the company best by writing, "We want 10 times the speed and impact the security teams work by making it much easier, faster, and more cost-effective for them to capture and analyze security signals that have previously been too difficult and expensive to find. We are building our intelligence and analytics platform to solve this problem." Well, what this could mean is dramatically faster response to zero-day attacks, and with the massive amount of computing power available to Google, Chronicle could potentially get ahead of hackers instead of just being responsive.
Well, that's it for an abbreviated set of blips this week, because we've got an awful lot to do in terms of prognostications, predictions, and other looks into the future. Before we get to the future, though, we've got something important from right here, right now. And for that, we're going to throw it over to Padre.
We'll be back with the guys in just a bit. But first, let's take a moment to thank the sponsor of This Week in Enterprise Tech. Now, if you've watched us for a while, you've probably wondered, how do I get into this wonderful world of IT? Now, there are the traditional ways. You could be an apprentice. Maybe you're just born into it. Perhaps you want to go to a formal training environment, a school, a university, and learn the craft that way. Well, those are perfectly good. But if you need something a little different, if you need education that conforms around you, if maybe you're already in IT and you need a resource, and I'm so happy that part of the Twilight Riot is IT Pro TV. Now, IT Pro TV is the freshest, the best way to make sure that you get the knowledge you need to survive this IT world. Now, with the new year comes new resolutions. Now, whether you're looking to jazz up your resume or you're considering an exciting new career in tech, you can make your professional resolutions a reality this year with IT Pro TV. IT Pro TV offers over 3,300 hours of on-demand training, with more than 125 hours added each week. You can stream IT Pro TV's courses live and on-demand worldwide via Chromecast, Roku, Amazon Fire, Apple TV, PC, or by using their iOS or Android apps. Now, IT Pro TV does IT Live every day, so you know you're getting the most current IT training from people who actually understand how it works. Their courses include Certified Ethical Hacker, Kali Linux, Linux Security Techniques, ITIL, ISC Squared, security certs, and more. You can check out IT Pro TV's team solution for group pricing and access to the IT Pro TV supervisor portal, which is great if you're managing a team. You can gain full control of your team's training schedule there. You can create custom groups and training assignments. You can see individual and group analytics, view logins, viewing time, video download, and more. In other words, you can make sure that the people who work with you are working hard to make sure they stay current with the latest and the greatest in IT. Now, we use IT Pro TV here because sometimes I forget. Sometimes we need a resource. Sometimes we need to look back at something that is, you know, early on in the training, or maybe something that we've forgotten because it's an arcane piece of knowledge. And IT Pro TV is perfect for that, because we can search for exactly the right piece of knowledge that we need, that nugget, that solution to the problem we're having right now. In that sense, IT Pro TV is not just a great place to train, it's a great place to relearn things that you've already forgotten. Join the more than 85,000 IT Pro TV members today and get the IT job that you've always dreamed of. Friendly training, binge-worthy content, life-changing results. Visit itpro.tv/enterprise and use the code ENTERPRISE30 for a free 7-day trial when you sign up for an individual monthly membership. You'll also receive 30% off a monthly membership for the lifetime of your active subscription. Premium subscriptions, which include unlimited transcender practice exams and virtual labs, are normally $857 a year. But you only pay $600 a year when you go to itpro.tv/enterprise and use the code ENTERPRISE30. That's itpro.tv/enterprise and use the code ENTERPRISE30. Now, if you're interested in learning more about IT Pro TV's team solutions, sign up for a free demo of their supervisor portal. IT Pro TV, it's IT done right. And we thank IT Pro TV for their support of This Week in Enterprise Tech. Now back to the action.
Thanks, Padre. We appreciate that. And now it's time to start with our predictions for 2018. But to do that, we're going to first start with a look backwards, taking a peek at our predictions for 2017 and just how good we were as prognosticators this time last year. And we're going to start way out west, move our way east as we go. So, Brian, that means that you're up first with your predictions for 2017.
Okay, so I'm going to read them fast and then we can all vote on this. My short term was smart TVs get smarter with the integration of things like Raspberry Pis being integrated into some consumer TVs and Android also starting to appear. Such platform popularity may mean that VDI as a service from larger ISPs may be able to happen in the near future. Now, last year, Brian and Kurt said we think that's going to happen, and Padre and Lou said no. Medium term. LoRa, short for long range, dev kits are already starting to roll out, but LoRa clouds are still rare. I say look for IoT cloud solutions that make LoRa a lot more viable for startups and tinkerers. And LoRa is new long range IoT targeting wireless data systems that have been tested and are being able to propagate upwards of 2.3 miles through office buildings. And that I had snagged a dev kit and hoped to use it for smart meters all over the UH Manoa campus and perhaps out in the field on pole transformers and such. In that one, I said it was going to happen. And our friend Lou said, maybe, maybe not. We'll see what happens with the software dev kits. Unfortunately, I don't have any notes from Kurt and Padre. The long term. We've been talking clouds for a long time now, but virtual desktops as a service has floundered due to licensing issues and high cost of infrastructure to house it all. However, I'm predicting that we're going to start seeing desktops as a service starting to appear in the residential market, mostly in large metro areas. With new TVs having Android or similar in them, ISPs no longer have to shoehorn a VDI client into their set-top boxes. It's already available for the enterprise, but with people like Spectrum getting into the game, I'm saying you should be able to, in some markets, be able to purchase quadruple play, voice, video, phone, and desktops from your residential ISP. So someday, much cheaper to set up your parents for a computer without having a computer to manage. Well, sadly, it didn't look like that happened. Guys, what do you think? Short, long, short, medium, long, how'd I do?
So I guess for me, I think kind of going back to your short term, the smart TVs, I actually say, obviously, there's lots of smart TVs out there. Are they implementing VDI and other capabilities? I would say no. I think that seemed to be a slower adoption than we thought it would be. So I thought, you know, and maybe it's because the input devices are not there yet. I think it's just the fact that they're focusing more on content and capability, local capability and streaming capability than they are, hey, let me actually be productive and do things on our TV. So that, I think for me, that would be a no. For medium term, I think that has kind of stuck in dev kits. I think there's not a lot of mainstream adaption of the LoRa type dev kits. SD-1 seems to be taking on what people are taking on right now. But I haven't seen the adoption of that. And then again, finally, the long term, the VDI, like being brought out by companies. Again, I just don't see it. I don't see the adoption of it. So sorry, Brian. Three no's.
That's all right.
Three thumbs down.
Kurt, what do you think?
Well, I think that Lou is largely correct. And I tell you, I think that the short term and long term especially are related, because what we haven't seen are smart televisions. The third screen, the large smartphone and the tablet have just become so popular that there hasn't been nearly the kind of need or demand for smart television that we thought was going to develop. So that's the entertainment accompanying desktop, yes, but the mechanism has been different. And I think largely that's have been happening to the VDI in on your long term as well, because there just isn't the demand. You know, it's one of those things that makes absolute sense, especially for an enterprise. You can make a great argument for it in a lot of different directions, but for whatever reason, we just haven't seen the demand. And I think much of that is because cloud applications have taken away the need for any kind of local desktop that matters. So people are able to do their cloud applications on whatever platform they have at hand, making VDI much less crucial than it seemed a few years ago. Now, as for LoRa, again, from what I've seen, that one's in the dev kit stage. Maybe it will go ahead, and maybe it's going to be in dev kit long enough for something else to come along and take its place. So I'm afraid three mostly no's on that, and for no good reason.
Yeah, oh well, such is life, right? Anyway, I'm going to read Padre.
Please,
Padre
do.
Is in Rome. So he's saying, for short term, wearable devices actually become useful. Woohoo! Wearables have been an interesting category that has racked up billions in sales, but most of them end up in drawers and boxes. We may like buying them, but the actual useful information we get from them has not lived up to the hype. There are a few companies that are looking to change that by creating usable medical wearables. PH Vitality created a painless glucose monitoring wearable that costs less per year per month than glucose testing strips and can test you throughout the day without the need for a painful pinprick. Connected Health Conference in D.C. had a keynote in which they disclosed that 40% of our health is based on behavior, and manufacturers are starting to zero in on that behavior, which means they can track it. Medtronic is working with Fitbit to make a constant blood sugar monitor. His medium term was called Spectrum Party, and wireless mobile becomes the norm for their workplace, and he's calling that both his medium and long term. FCC Chairman Pai is against a lot of things that ex-Chairman Wheeler was for, but he does agree with the push to get as much wireless spectrum into the hands of ISP and carriers as possible. 2017 is going to be the year that hybrid wireless technologies, which keep a mesh of wireless devices always connected, authenticated, and secured, becomes a value add. His long-term IoT will still be insecure, and AR will dominate virtual reality. Guys, what do you think about Padre's predictions? Let's start with Kurt.
Well, I think on the short-term side of things, I agree with him. I mean, wearables, this is something I have an Apple Watch that I wear all the time. And obviously I do so not because it makes such a stunning fashion statement, but because I find it useful. And when I go to conferences, when I'm out in public, I see a lot of people wearing Apple Watches and, to a lesser extent, things like the Garmin watches and other things. Now, it does seem to be tied more or less to how physically active people are, but I think that it's growing and that there is definite use out there. So I think on the short-term predictions, I'm going to say yes, it's happened. Now, on the medium term, the Spectrum Party, I think that that is in the process of happening. We're seeing mobile wireless become much more of a workplace norm for primarily financial reasons. Companies are finding that if their employees can use one of the wireless carriers for much of their networking, it lowers the cost to the enterprise, and everybody likes lower costs. So I do think that in many cases, that's going to happen, although it's going to be hit and miss. It's going to depend on exactly which company we're talking about and exactly where they are. Longer term, I think he's right. I'm going to agree with him that augmented reality will definitely take the place of virtual reality in terms of wide adoption. There'll still be a place for both, but virtual reality will be much more the niche. And IoT, just because there's so darn much legacy stuff out there, I don't see a way to truly secure IoT for a long time to come.
You know what? I'm going to go next. I'm going to say short term. I'm starting to see them, but I don't agree it's short term. I think our friends at the FDA are actually slowing a lot of these wearables down. They're putting a lot of red tape in their way. And while we are definitely seeing like the patch-based continuous glucose monitors, I think that's the only segment that's actually showing some progress, and mostly because just sheer number of people. So while I say, yes, it did happen, it's only happening in a really narrow band. Now, as far as medium term, yeah, I think we're starting to get that. I think I'm not sure I'd call it medium term, though. Because of all the spectrum auctions and so forth, I think that might actually be a long term. I think that might actually only happen in 2018, late 2018, maybe early 2019, before it actually gets some feet under it. Long term, I do agree. Yeah, IoT is definitely insecure and needs a lot of work, and AR is white hot. So that leaves Mr. Liu. What do you say about Padre?
Yeah, so I'm definitely agree with number one, because the fortunate thing for this type of predictions is they happen usually after CES. And last year there wasn't that many in CES around, you know, the wearable technologies, but I do think that this year there was quite a bit, and I know that there has been some resistance from the FDA around some of these devices, but that's not stopping consumers from buying these things, even though they're not blessed by the FDA. And blessing by the FDA could mean that, hey, insurance can now cover it and do other things, but that doesn't prevent them from necessarily selling them. And so, like, for instance, Abbott's Freestyle, like you were talking about, their monitoring system was blessed by the FDA. Omron's blood pressure watch, which actually was showed off at CES this year, which is really, really cool. That being how close it is to actually wearing the armbands. And also K-Watch's glucose monitoring system and Fitbit's Ionic system as well. And these are all systems that have been actually pretty successful and made quite a bit of revenue for these companies. And so I think that maybe it wasn't necessarily the year for wearables, but I do think it was a kind of a transition year to have them start being big things next year. One thing I do think that they need to work on is the power side of it, is that, you know, still having battery issues and how do we keep these things charged and that type of thing. From the, I'd say in the midterm, talk about the wireless mobile solutions, I don't see it. Like, I see still community Wi-Fi being there. I see mesh networks in people's homes, but I don't see the interconnectivity of those. So, like, people sharing that and creating their own networks, and maybe corporations are doing this in their warehouses, but I don't see them at the consumer side. So I'd say no there. And then finally, long-term, AI, and AR, being kind of dominating VR. I don't see that either. Like, I see more VR coming out, especially from the gaming conventions that I saw last year. I saw more VR solutions than I did AR. I was hoping that the HoloLens would take off and become something huge, but it still hasn't got over that threshold yet. And so I think maybe this might be the year for that, but unfortunately I haven't seen the adoption.
All right. Well, that's three predictions down, one to go. And Lou, you were the last person talking, and you get to pick right up, because we're eager to find out just how you did with your predictions for 2017.
Sure. So I think for my short term, it was very similar to Padres. I talked about augmented reality and how it was going to break out of just being kind of the Pokemon Go type thing in Xbox games out to more consumer based things, very similar to Padres. And so, you know, the idea is you being able to hold up your phone and augment your reality, being able to shop differently and so on. I do think that there has been some adaption with that. Like, for instance, Home Depot and some of these other companies have produced applications that allow you to do that. Whether it's actually Amazon does this very well right now too as well. They have a cool app that augments. You can actually do that with your Amazon app on your phone and iPhone now, is you can augment your room or actually see the item in front of you. And I think this is kind of adding another facet to shopping. Now, was it the year? I'd say we saw some adoption, some slow rollout of kind of AR technologies in the consumer space, but I haven't seen kind of that critical mass. And I think that's what we were looking for. The next one was for my midterm. I talked about AGI and the adoption of that and how artificial general intelligence. So this is like, text and analytics and natural language processing, that type of thing, and how more systems are going to be using that and being able to produce more and more insights. And I think I honestly think, especially because of the Christmas season, this was the year for Alexa. And I think that, you know, not only that, but Amazon's doing a lot of things with AGI, as well as companies like Microsoft as well. And so I think that they're trying to push the threshold. We just saw an article yesterday about them making a citizen in one country because of AGI capability and the ability for them to talk and interact. And I really think that this deep learning capability had 2017 was the year for it. And I really think that 2018 will take it to the next level, especially in the consumer space. So I think that was a yes. And finally, long term, I think that it was kind of similar to Brian's. It was the slow demise of kind of our traditional desktops and moving more to like a more of a virtualized desktop type of environment. Unfortunately, I think an interesting part is things like Bitcoin and other places where people want to mine their own things. There was actually an upswing of people developing and building workstations because they want to be able to get into the space. And so that's kind of pushed that aside because people still want these desktop machines and their local capabilities. But I have seen somewhere in the corporate world where people are moving slightly towards the virtualization because then they can order cheaper machines, cheaper workstations, and still offer the more powerful capabilities of CPU power and computation by using the cloud versions of it. So I'm kind of on the fence with this one because it hasn't been more consumer-based, but it has been the fact that more corporations are doing it. So I'd say maybe a yes on that one.
Well, you know, Lou, I'm going to hop in here and say that on your augmented reality, we're heading in that direction, definitely. I still think that we're waiting a little bit. We're still a little bit ahead of that. So while I'm going to say yes, I think it's more of a yes for medium term than short term. It's coming, but still not quite there. On your artificial intelligence, I absolutely agree. And we'll go back to CES. If we looked at all of the automobiles that were being shown there, most of them had one of these voice assistants, whether from Google, from Amazon, or from Microsoft, as part of their electronic system. So I think those are coming. And one of the interesting things is the voice assistant divorced from the cloud where it lives. So basically seeing how many outside companies, how many third parties adopt a particular voice assistant. I think that's going to be big news. And finally, on the augmented desktop or the virtualized desktop, I think the big news there is that we may actually be getting to the point where the desktop doesn't matter very much. So virtualized, yes, but I think the bigger news is that as we move more and more to software as a service and cloud-based applications, it's just that the desktop is less and less relevant. And we tend not to virtualize those things that are irrelevant. So will it happen? Quite possibly, but will anyone care? That's the tough one. Brian, what do you think about that?
I kind of don't agree. I think the augmented reality, it's still in the, oh, that's really cool, but what are you really going to do with it? other than some really specific vertical markets, it's kind of like 3D printing. You print chess pieces or toys for kids and things like that. I haven't seen too many really serious enterprise applications for it yet. I keep hearing about people wanting to do it. And yeah, JG, I do agree about HoloLens. That's a great thing. But where's the enterprise applications? You know, there hasn't been that many yet. You know, I've seen people do experiments. I'd really love to be able to have an AR app, say, on my phone and walk through, say, a mall and get reviews and so forth, to have something a little bit more than just games and things like that. Because I don't think, you know, we're an enterprise show. So I'm going to say it's a slow adoption. Maybe we'll see it towards the end of the year. I'm not sure. Now, as far as artificial general intelligence, I do agree that we're seeing an awful lot, especially from people like Waymo and Tesla and so forth. And that's really cool. I have both a Google Home and an Amazon Alexa, and a, you know, Amazon Echo, sorry. And I've been playing with them, and I think that's really cool. And I do agree with Emily. Yeah, I think industrial, manufacturing, they're all going to have AR first, but I'm still not seeing it other than really, really specific stuff. Stovepipe. Boeing uses it for the cable harness building on their planes and things like that. I think we're going to see it there, but I haven't seen it outside of stovepipe applications. AI, same thing. I'm starting to see it. We actually interviewed the guys from IBM. It's got some great things. They're starting to do things. Medium term, maybe. You know, I'm almost thinking that might be a long term rather than a medium term. Now, as far as long term, I think VDI has just about collapsed as a market segment. I totally agree with Kurt that software as an application, software as a service, things like that, web-based application, nobody needs a desk. You know, so few desktops are key to enterprise applications now. More and more things are moving into the cloud. More and more things are moving into SaaS. I hate to say it. I love VDI. I think VDI just missed the boat. It could have been big. It could have worked. We could have seen desktop as a service in homes and things like that. But now I think VDI has almost become irrelevant.
You know, Brian, I'm going to agree with you. VDI may be one of those things. We can say that timing may not be everything, but it's a lot. And there are a lot of technologies that we've seen over the years that were great technologies, but for one reason or another, other technologies came along and just took their niche. VDI may well be one of those. And I thought that we had done three predictions before we got to Luke. We had not. I haven't done mine yet, and... Well, let's see. I've been critiquing all of my companions. Let's see how I did for 2017. My short term was that machine learning changes network security and application configurations because human beings are just too slow. Now, I'm going to say yes on this because things like intent-based networking and software-defined networking are changing configuration and security all up and down, whether you're talking about local area networks, enterprise networks, or the big carriers. We're having machine learning and artificial intelligence taking the place of human configurators in many cases. So I feel good about that one. My medium term was that voice becomes the way most users do most of their computing. Still, I think a wait and see on that because, well, as we said at CES, we saw lots of devices, especially automobiles, being added to the ecosystems, but we're still moving in that direction. We're not there yet, and there's always a chance that something will come along and change the way that happens before we get there. And finally, the open internet is over. Now, this didn't really have as much to do with net neutrality as it did with the fact that there are a lot of governments that just don't like open internet. They want to have control over what is said and basically what their citizens can read. Now, we're seeing this in a lot of different directions. In some totalitarian nations, they want to keep their citizens from seeing what's going on outside or keep them from seeing groups that criticize the government. In other places like France and Germany especially, we're seeing efforts to clamp down on fake news. One way or the other, there's the sense in government institutions that the internet is just too open and that, frankly, as citizens, we can't handle the open. So I still think that is largely going to be true, and I don't know that I'm completely happy about it. Lou, I want to toss to you first. What do you think about my predictions? How did I do?
So for the machine learning from the security perspective, I think you hit that one right on the head. I think there's so many different adoptions of the fact that, you know, companies and security firms, they can't do this all by hand, especially with monitoring tools. They have to have the ability to bring in different facets and different vectors of data in order to analyze that. They're going to need some kind of horsepower and computation power. And that's kind of where machine learning brings in that capability to devise models. And they're ever changing and adopting and evolving models, but they are models to produce that information. And I think we're going to see that more and more. And we did see a ton last year. There was a bunch of pop-up applications and companies that have kind of devised new systems for that. We even had a couple of them here on Twiit. So I definitely think that's a yes. Voice being input. This is an interesting one because, you know, a lot of companies, especially coming out with new PCs or new devices, you think that they'd add the voice capability. Yes, they've definitely added Alexa and other applications, other assistants into their devices. And so you'll see a lot of new IoT, you know, whether it's a light switch to a light bulb to a smoke detector. They all have kind of like Alexa built in. But has it become like the most used input for computing? I say no. But it's on an up and up, and is it trending? Absolutely. I think it's definitely a way, like you said, you saw automobiles and, you know, a lot of IoT devices and other things kind of adopting. So I think it's on its up and up. It's trending, but it hasn't hit that kind of that critical mass just yet. And then the open internet, I'd say, I don't think it's gone yet. I think we still have it. I think people, there's still that residual effect of the demise of net neutrality. I think that the residual effect is companies are being real careful about what they do because they don't want to be pointed as the liar of the group. People who they've said, hey, we believe in net neutrality, and then they kind of deleted that from their sites, and now they don't want to be known as the company that took the back step. So you haven't seen anything yet. They're waiting that for that to die down before they take their action and pounce. And I think that we'll probably see that in 2018 potentially from some corporations because they have to redo their fiscal year goals, and so they're going to have to find new ways to get more money. And I think that we'll see some companies doing it. But I think at this point, I don't think it's gone yet.
All right. You know what? So a mixed bag. Brian, what do you think?
Okay, so short-term machine learning, big yes. Right, nail on the head. I think we're going to actually see a lot more. I think we're going to see that segment speed up. Now, voice becomes the way most users do their computing. I think that's slow. I think we've got a lot of intent, but I think one of the things we're going to need to start doing is more local computing power, because having to depend on sending it off to the internet means you're going to have an always-on internet connection. And yeah, it's there, but not really. And so I'm saying that's a slow. And as far as the open internet, I don't think the game's over in the United States. The game is very different in some of the other countries. We're starting to see a lot more governments making requirements. And China's definitely one. You know, I have a researcher in Beijing right now, and he cannot use Google at all. And his VPNs don't work. And so we're going to start seeing that in other countries, but I don't think the game's over in the United States yet. We need to move on. So, Kurt?
Well, we saw how all of us did for 2017, and in just a minute, we're going to get to our 2018 predictions. But before we do, well, you know, it wouldn't be a show if we didn't hear from Padre one more time.
I'm going to butt in just one more time. Again, to thank a sponsor of the Twiit Riot. And I'm going to start by asking you a question. If you've ever gone for a mortgage, for a home loan, did you enjoy the experience? Did you like bringing in buckets and boxes of old receipts and pay stubs and trying to convince some guy, some total rando, that you were worthy of a loan? Well, of course you didn't. Nobody likes that experience. Nobody should go through that experience because, well, we live in the now. What we need is a customer-focused loan experience, a mortgage experience that is up to the digital age, which is why we're so happy to have Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans as a sponsor of the Twiat Riot. Now, Rocket Mortgage understood that the mortgage experience wasn't keeping up with the time. It was dated and it needed a client-focused technological revolution. That's exactly what it is. That's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage in the first place. Rocket Mortgage gives you the confidence you need when it comes to buying a home or refinancing your existing home loan. It's simple. It allows you to fully understand all the details and be confident that you're getting the right mortgage for you. It's convenient. Their trusted partners allow you to share your financial information with Rocket Mortgage at the touch of a button. It's powerful. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, Rocket Mortgage is able to perform thousands of calculations in just seconds. And with those calculations, based on your income, your assets, and your credit, Rocket Mortgage can analyze all of the home loan options for which you qualify and find the one that's just right for you. The end result is that you get a mortgage that is custom tailored to who you are, to what you need, and the home that you're looking to buy. It's Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/enterprise. That's rocketmortgage.com/enterprise. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states. NMLS consumeraccess.org number 3030. And we thank Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans for their support of this week in enterprise tech. Now let's get back to all things in the enterprise.
Well, we're certainly back to all things in the predicted enterprise because it's time for our predictions for 2018. We heard how we did for 2017. Let's see if 2018 is going to be any better. And to get us started off, Brian, we're going to let you take the first crack at telling us what's going to happen.
Well, I think in the short term, because I'm already starting to see it right now, going beyond hybrid clouds into augmented clouds, where new services like smart load balancing, IDS, IPS, become much more common for cloud providers to link on-premise to the cloud. I think in the medium term, we're going to see more work in natural language and voice interfaces. I'm a firm believer in this. We're starting to finally appear in network, you know, enterprise network solutions. We already saw it with Tim Titus in past solutions. I'm thinking I'm going to start seeing this in things like Salesforce and SAP, and Google and Amazon are going to race to see who's going to rule the voice enterprise world. And my long term, and I'm saying this is long term only because I just got a memo from Verizon and another one from T-Mobile about how we're supposed to start from the machine-to-machine world, phasing out our 3G modems because we need to make room. That spectrum is going to be given over to 5G. So I'm saying in the long term, 5G mobile services are going to be announced towards the end of the year, and they're going to start warning people to phase out their 3G in the 2 to 3 year time span. We're going to start seeing a whole bunch of people doing trade-in deals and things like that because we're going to need to make space.
All right. Well, those are your predictions, and let me give my response to them. I think for your short term, I agree. I think that the augmented cloud that you refer to is the next step in the hybrid cloud. So I'm going to say yes to that one. I'm also going to say yes to your medium term because natural language, voice interfaces, you know, I've been big on that all along. So I'm not going to disagree here. It's going to be interesting. I'm hoping to go to SAP's Sapphire conference in 2018, and it will be interesting to see there what we have in voice recognition. Now, long term, here I'm a little bit iffier just because I think there are still plenty of places where physics get in the way. There are a lot of places where you still need the local DSL cable modem wired connections. So here I'm going to say a strong maybe tending toward no, but that's just me. Lou, what do you think about the predictions that Brian's come up with?
I like these a lot. So for the first one, the augmented cloud, I think about in 2016, I had a very similar prediction around the kind of like the hybrid cloud. And I was kind of wrong with that. I think that we started to see a little bit of adoption, but not great adoption. And I kind of think the same here. I'm going to say no for this one only because we're seeing there's still a lot of negatives against it. For instance, obviously net neutrality is demise. There could be some restrictions against how different services and how they want you to use those services. Fast lanes could affect this latency. And so you're going to see more and more of that, as well as because of a lot of security breaches and issues in the cloud offerings, a lot of people are reluctant to move off of their on-premise functionality. And so I think these are kind of negative things that go against that. And until we kind of get over those humps, I don't think we're going to see that big adoption. The natural language processing, absolutely. I think that this is a huge market, and it's going to move into a different phase this year, especially because of IoT and other things that are coming out. I think in the coming summer, as well as into the Christmas time, you're going to see huge things, even from enterprise perspective, not just from consumer perspective. 5G, I think I'm going to say yes on this one, only because I think that the wireless companies, not only devices, but also the companies themselves, need something else to bank on. And so as you're seeing from Verizon that they're touting their 5G, which, we don't really know what 5G is yet. I know we know from a technical perspective, but some of the brandings that are coming out as 5G are not necessarily blanketed under all of that type of technology. And so I think that we're going to see more and more of these companies claiming that they have this thing. And so obviously we'll see more adoptions of it. Now, will it mean that people will get rid of their hard lines? I don't think so. So I think it's kind of a half and half from my perspective on that. That's my prediction.
And good responses they are. Well, you did such a good job on the responses to Brian's predictions. I think we'll reward you by letting you give your predictions next.
All right. So for my short term, really fast, my prediction is that the industry will actually start making strides to change their processes surrounding security. Now, we've kind of talked about this many years before, but because of just last year, we're really starting to see that people are not trying to consider accepting a systemic insecurity as the norm. We're starting to see tons and tons of more exploits and attacks. Intel's issue with their processors. We're going to see more hardware-related ones. It's not just an OS's problem anymore. We're also seeing tons and tons of IoT. So I think that the consumers and the enterprise alike are going to start pouncing on the industry to have something new. I can go through a list: Equifax, Uber, Experian, Intel, Dallas's emergency sirens, the Deep Root Analytics, where they exposed terabytes of data around Americans voting, WannaCry, and more was all just last year. And these things were, more people, consumers are starting to take more and more serious points of view around this. And I think this is the industry is going to walk through. I also think what will also push this forward is GDPR. I think that this will make a big impact into the industry, especially for companies that are international organizations. And so I think that this alone will actually have a huge impact on the industry, and we'll start to see more and more companies taking it seriously. The interesting part is there's some interesting facts that they're saying only 8% of organizations actually take into account cyber risks. 87% of them actually say they have the budget, and 25% of them actually feel that unless they get an attack, they won't get any money for it. So I think that stat needs to change, and I think it'll change this year. For the medium term, cryptocurrencies. So I think a lot of people are saying, hey, Bitcoin's on its way down. But I really think that they've become more mainstream, and I think that the markets should start to fear them. And the reason why I think that is because, a lot of data is showing this. For instance, the cryptocurrencies might have wavered a little bit, but look at Coinbase. They alone basically hit $1 billion last year in revenue. Just between Christmas and Thanksgiving, they went from $600 million to over $1 billion. But the interesting part here is they're not actually affected by how the price of the Bitcoin is, but they're affected by the volume of trading, the buying and selling. And in fact, we're starting to see an up and up of that. And that's an interesting gauge because another part of the market that we're seeing on the up and up is the GPU market. You're actually seeing more virtualization of that, more companies coming out with, hey, why don't you just pay us to do the mining for you because we got a GPU farms. But also you're starting to see a consumer problem. A lot of people are actually going out and buying the cheaper, powerful GPUs to create their own farms. And the market's just going up and up and up. And this is all because of cryptocurrency. It's not because of gaming. And in fact, the gaming industry is hurting because of this. So I think that this is also kind of a little look into that market and how it's growing. And of course, Bitcoin is also showing that they're making their math problems harder and harder to mine. And it's actually adding in a wrinkle into that because people are trying to find and trying to find ways to make that money. And I really think that that's something that's going to happen this coming year. And finally, genetic engineering. So we've been talking about this for a long time, many, many years about, hey, we really think that genetic engineering is going to come up in an industry. But I really start to think because it's controversial, but the industry is just kind of itching to get into it. And in this case, this particular case is the Bill Gates has actually entered the arena. He's funding a genetic research on how to create the perfect cow, which in fact produced milk without problems with the temperature, as well as being able to produce the right meat and that kind of thing. He gave $40 million from his fund into the Global Alliance for Livestock. But also, look at what Monsanto has done in this realm. It's the reason why non-GMO has been a big thing for some of the consumers out there is because they don't want corporations and organizations messing with their food. And I really think that this is going to be a huge industry for this year. Different companies are going to find different ways to get around all of those ethical reasonings. And I think, and especially biological reasonings. And we're going to need to have to see some more regulation around that. So I think this is really kind of a long-term thing, but I really think that this might be the year that we'll start to see a change. That is my prediction.
I think they're a great set of predictions, and let me run through them real quickly. I think that you are absolutely right in your short term. Security is going to be something that companies just start taking seriously, largely because they have to. GDPR will be a non-trivial part of that because it's got some real teeth, and it affects a lot more companies than many people realize. Medium term, I'm saying yes, but to me, the cryptocurrency is a piece of it. The bigger thing is the blockchain technology. I think blockchain, we're going to see that going out into a lot of different directions. But I do think for especially the medium term, cryptocurrencies are going to be big, although I'm not sure that I would bet on any one cryptocurrency right now. I think this one's going to be highly speculative, highly dynamic. And finally, long-term, I absolutely agree with you in terms of genetic engineering. There's been an awful lot of FUD about that, fear, uncertainty, and doubt. There have been a lot of protests, but I think that there are going to be a lot of interesting things happening in genetic engineering. To me, the fascinating thing will be if some of the people who are doing research start to basically open source their designs, because that would get rid of a lot of the complaints about industrial giants like Monsanto controlling food production. So I think you're right. Three yeses for me on Lou's predictions. Brian, what do you think?
Sorry. I'm actually trying to get people to throw some predictions into the chat room. Once we finish up with this, we're going to try and slide some of the chat room's predictions in. So come on, guys. Give me some predictions and we'll try and cover them. Short term, yes. I think that's going to happen. It's got to happen. The world was really pissed off about Equifax and things like that. GDPR is going to have a massive impact. And I got a sneaky hunch that if someone in Congress isn't listening to the impact of GDPR, they're not going to be in office next time around. Cryptocurrencies, I don't think that's going to happen. I think cryptocurrencies, sadly, are going to flounder because there's no standard. The powers that be aren't really supporting it. They're just reacting to it. I agree with Kurt. I think it's going to be blockchain. And we're already starting to see some people trying to push a rope uphill using blockchain for real estate transactions. We do need a way to have a secure way, a cryptological way of transferring information around, transferring things of value. But I don't think it's going to be things like cryptocurrencies. I think it's going to be blockchain. Long term. Oh, you know, I hate to say it. There's a lot of FUD on genetic engineering, but it's got to happen. You know, the future of, instead of having, say, whole chickens, you know, like in science fiction, where you have a vat that's creating big giant blocks of chicken or beef or whatever, I think that's sadly going to happen someday. We just cannot feed all the people on Earth. And, you know, genetic engineering is going to happen. It's got to happen. One big giant disease or something is going to be a big problem. If you've seen that movie, was the one, the interdimensional or whatever, the one where they go through the black hole. Yeah, that was where the Earth was starving because there's a blight that killed everything. Interstellar, thank you. I think that's going to be a problem, and I think the genetic engineering, if it doesn't happen, Earth may become a dust ball. Kurt,
well,
your turn.
Well, that's a nice, cheerful way to throw to my predictions. Nothing quite so dire on my side. Short term, I think fragmentation is going to rule the internet because the death of FCC's network neutrality rules are going to throw the market into short-term chaos as ISPs test the limits of what customers will bear, and states have already started stepping into the breach to regulate neutrality within their borders. Now, this could become an issue in the midterm elections, and it's likely that Congress will act in the next 18 months or so to either reinstate network neutrality or decisively end network neutrality by preempting state laws. Until one of those happens, it's anyone's guess what the real rules are, and we'll see more of things like the AT&T chairman asking for clarity. Medium term, I think we're going to have an AI-based malware that will crash the internet. Now, the only doubt that I have about this is the exact timing. State-sponsored and large criminal organization or hackers are going to be using machine learning and AI techniques to power attacks against specific targets, assuming it hasn't been happening already. Where this gets dangerous is when the AI breaks out of its target cone and spreads to the wider internet. I worry that collateral damage and unintended consequences could take days or weeks to fully unpack and remediate. Finally, long term, I think AR will become a standard business interface. Blue collar interface applications in field maintenance and inspection, which we're already seeing, to sales applications, to analyst and executive applications in interpreting complex data sets. For all of these, augmented reality will reach the same status that keyboards and mice have today, tools that everyone in business uses so much that they're no longer worth commenting on. Well, those are my predictions. Lou, let's start with you. What do you think about my skills of prognostication?
Well, I definitely think the short term is right on the money. I think that this is something that we're going to see because net neutrality's demise last year. And again, we in the beginning of this year, we're going to see less and less of it until at some point there, you know, corporations are going to start sneaking in there. And I think that this is where we're going to start seeing mid-year, if not at the end of the year, when people are demanding more and more from their service providers, they're going to find more and more ways to charge you for it. So I think that this is definitely going to come true. The AI-based malware, I think this is just the next step. We've seen a lot of malware that's kind of a sleeper-based system where it can be woken up by trends and different usage capabilities, and this can all be done by using specific models and usage capabilities from users in the consumer space. But this will also affect, I definitely think it'll be something that it's kind of the next step, especially because there's been almost like this mesh-based attack vector that happened in the past. And again, using AI to kind of get around the defense systems is kind of the next step. So I don't think this is science fiction. I think this is reality. AR, again, becoming kind of more a standard business interface. I think, again, I've had this in the past, and I think the AR has got the potential. It's there. Whether it's, I think the long term, maybe this might be, you know, the year for it long term, maybe in mid-year next year. But I really think that the companies haven't taken advantage of it yet. It's just not, it's so powerful But again, because of just the hardware and the software limitations at this point, they haven't kind of really broken out. And I really think this might be the year for it. So I definitely agree with that one as well.
Well, thank you for those. Right. We'll mark those down so that we can come back and take a look next year. Brian, what do you think about my prognostication?
Alrighty. Oops, sorry. I got to scroll back. I'm rapidly typing in the chat room predictions, getting ready. Fragmentation rules the internet. Yeah, we're already starting to see it. AI-based malware. Yeah, dude. It's unsadly going to happen. I think, yeah, and I agree. It's probably going to be state-sponsored, and I think it's going to I'm actually going to modify that and say it's going to take down a vast swath of the internet for a significant amount of time. And I think that might actually happen this year. Is AR going to become a standard business practice? Sorry, I don't think so. I think AR it's a solution waiting for a problem. It's still all vertical. Yeah. Kevin's bringing up some stuff in architecture. I think if it happens in enterprise, it's going to happen in vertical markets. I don't think it's going to be a general enterprise practice, probably for at least another 2 years.
All right.
What do you think? Shall we go to chat room predictions?
I think we have just a couple of minutes. I know you've been monitoring the chat room. Let's hear from what our chat room has to say about the future.
Okay, so Reverb Mike says self-driving trucks are going to fail as a market. So, bummer. Lawn Dog actually has two of them. HoloLens AR/VR is going to take at least 4 more years to have an enterprise impact. So he kind of agrees with me. He also says home automation like the Echo and such will battle for at least 2 more years before we get traction. Java 78115 predicts famine and disease will thin the population, the apocalypse scenario. JJ to the 4884 says 2018 will be the year of the Linux desktop. Sorry, JJ, that you've been saying that for years. Let's see if that happens. I'd like to see that happen. Emily Lestrange, some big attack, or we're going to be trying to defend against voting fraud and manipulation from outside countries. And Jabba is also saying that the internet is going to become slower and more expensive. So that's going to be interesting to see how we do next year on that one.
You know, it absolutely is to see not only how we do, but how the chat room did in terms of their prognostications, their predictions, see who came out to be the best. Well, I hate to say it, but I predict that we're out of time, and it's time to say goodbye. This has been a great show of predictions, of looking back, and I know that we're going to have a great year of TWiET coming up in 2018. Well, for the next week, let's figure out what we're doing. Lou, what are you going to be doing for the next week until we see you again?
Well, we're always doing preparation for trade shows that are coming up and building out a new technology. So you can always check out my work that we're doing at dev.office.com, finding a way to bring the power of extensibility to Office. And I really think we're doing some great things. So check it out there. And of course, always you can always check out my work, my daily work outside of work, all that stuff on Twitter at LouMM. So come out and send me a chat.
Will do. Brian, how about you? What's happening in paradise for the next 7 days?
Well, I am just trying to play catch up. I have some book editing to finish up and get some consistency checks done so we can get that submitted. A lot of things. I have a clarification from JJ. He says he thinks the Linux desktops are going to go mainstream. So I'll modify that. Don't worry. That way we'll revisit next year. But JJ, you are one of the biggest Linux fanboys I've ever met. And, you know, I think this was a really cool episode. I think we're going to have a lot of fun. I think next year I'm going to try and slide in a way for us to have more chat room predictions. That'll be a lot of fun. And you know what? I'm ADVNETLAB on Twitter, or I'm Chibert at twit.tv. And you know, I really like hearing from you guys. And yes, JJ, I did get your tweet. I am going to try and reach out to people, but I do have a day job. Sorry.
We appreciate hearing that. As for me, I'm still looking for my next day job. And in the meantime, telling stories on my blog and telling some stories through Twitter. So you're welcome to look me up on LinkedIn, follow me on Twitter at KG4GWA. Well, this has been another great week. Thanks for spending an hour with us. And until next week, this is This Week in Enterprise Technology, when it's time to look for the best in technology for your enterprise. Just keep quiet.